One year at the end of Tisha B'Av, the Lulavar Rebbe and the Biala Rebbe met each other by the Kotel. And the Lulavar Rebbe said to the Biala Rebbe, he said, "Biala Rebbe, how was your fast?" So he said, "Baruch Hashem, everything went well, I felt well, I fasted well." He says, "Lulavar Rebbe, how about you? How was your fast?" So he says to him, "The entire Tisha B'Av, the entire night and the entire day of Tisha B'Av, I did not stop for one second hoping and believing and thinking about the possibility of Mashiach coming." It's a very lofty level for a person to go from now, the next 24 hours, to not deviate one's mind from the possibility of Mashiach. But it's an ideal. It's an ideal that the tzaddikim were able to attain, to be able to attach oneself emotionally for the next 24 hours to nothing other than the hope of the possibility of Mashiach. On the flip side, we find in the writings of Rav Pinchas Koritzer that on Tisha B'Av we know we don't wear tefillin. The Imre Pinchas writes in his writings on Tisha B'Av, "B'Tisha B'Av ein manichin tefillin, v'ha'aveilus b'makom tefillin." On the positive side, we spend every second of Tisha B'Av longing for Mashiach. On the negative side, we spend every second of Tisha B'Av immersed in aveilus. Says Rav Pinchas of Korach, on Tisha B'Av we don't wear tefillin, and we replace the tefillin with aveilus. And therefore, al kein osr la'asiach daito me'aveilus. Just like a person who's wearing tefillin has an obligation to be mindful the entire time that he's wearing tefillin, not for a second to lose sight of the fact that he's wearing tefillin. Many people don't speak at all, divrei chol, non-tefillah matters when they're wearing their tefillin. So says Rav Pinchas of Koritz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, we replace the tefillin on Tisha B'Av with aveilus. And again, this is a very lofty level, obviously an ideal for a person to go the entire day with thoughts of Mashiach, to go the entire 24-hour period, not for a second, having a hesach hadas from the aveilus of these days. But the truth is, as much as there's a part of us that wants to just push through, and is already dreaming of maybe the bagel and orange juice that we'll break our fast on, the bottom line is that a Jew who comes to Tisha B'Av has to be able to slow down just a little bit. I always thought, and I saw it in a sefer, quoting the name of Rav Nachman of Breslov, that the reason that we take off our shoes on Tisha B'Av is because we're not in any rush. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere we need to be. There's nothing else that we need to do. And therefore, we want to physically slow ourselves down to be able to focus on this day, to be able to recognize the fact that we're Bein HaMetzarim, that we're feeling trapped, that we're feeling stuck. Our souls feel stuck. In time we feel stuck. In place we feel stuck. That a Jew is able to stop and to think and to really reflect. Not just to be yotzeh by going through the motions once again with the halachos of the day. There's so much for a Jew to think about on Tisha B'Av. It's chaval that sometimes we get into a mindset where we just want to get through. But it's such an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us to stop and to think. Especially in our world today, where everything is so fast-paced that we don't have time to reflect, even on some of our greatest losses. Rav Yehuda Meir Shapiro, is his full name, is well known for being the founder of the Daf Yomi. He's well known for being the architect of one of the greatest yeshivas that ever was, Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. He was a remarkable person who passed away at a very, very young age. He was the first Orthodox Jew to serve for many years. For 5 or 6 years, as part of the Polish Parliament. He was a remarkable person, an unbelievable character, tremendous charisma. Rav Meir Shapiro and his Rebbetzin were not blessed with any children. And for years and years they waited. And they waited and they waited. And when they realized it seemed unlikely they were going to have a child of their own, Rav Meir and his Rebbetzin adopted, they brought a yasom, an orphan, into their home. A young boy named Ephraim. And they raised this child, as you can imagine, like one of their own, with tremendous love, dedicating themselves wholeheartedly, emotionally, to this child. And then the impossible happened. Parents who aren't blessed with children of their own, who took a child into their home, who provided for someone else's child like their own, very suddenly this child became ill. Very quickly his situation deteriorated. And shortly thereafter he passed away. And it was an unthinkable tragedy. Everyone was thinking, I don't know if anyone was saying, but certainly everyone was thinking, how could it be? A tzaddik, a righteous couple, builders of Torah, They do something that many wouldn't do even in their situation. They dedicated themselves wholeheartedly to this child. And then this young child was taken away from them. You can imagine the feelings at such a levaya. And Rav Meir Shapiro gets up to speak, and he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Again, the child's name is Ephraim. Haben yakar li Ephraim, my beloved Ephraim, my precious son, my only son, my favorite son. Haben yakir li Ephraim. Im yelet shashu, and what a delightful child I was zocha to have in my presence. Ki mide dabri bo zocher es karenu or. And with that, Rav Meir Shapiro burst into tears. And he repeated the word over and over, ki mide dabri bo zocher es karenu od, od, od. So much od was lost. There was so much more this child could have been. So much od, so many hopes, so many dreams. Rav Meir Shapiro just kept screaming and wailing, od, there was so much more that could have been. If you look at Klal Yisrael's history, and you reflect on some of our Chorban, you reflect on the lives that were snuffed out throughout Jewish history, millions and millions and millions of lives, men, women, children, young and old alike, and you think about the ode. Think about how much ode, how much more could Klal Yisrael have accomplished? Already a tiny nation, a tiny people that's responsible for so much good in the world. Can you imagine how much more ode there could have been? You can go crazy from just thinking about the numbers. Thinking about the ode that could have been. And therefore a Jew comes to this day, and hopefully a little bit, while maybe in practice it might seem impossible for us, to tap into that world of the lull of a Rebbe who didn't break his thinking from Mashiach for a second. Or like Rav Pinchas Koritzer says, not to break our thinking from the Avelis which replaced the Tefillin for a second. Well, that much might be beyond us, but in theory it resonates with us. Unfortunately, we're a little bit too disconnected. And even those of us who are connected don't necessarily have the mental capacity, the emotional capacity to think about all of that ode, to live with all of that ode and all of that hope and all of that disappointment. It's very easy to become overwhelmed by it. So I want to share a different perspective on ode. Not the ode of Rav Meir Shapiro, where he cried out, Haben Yakar Li Ephraim, that every time I think of you, Ki Midei Dabri Bo Zachar Eskano, every time I think of you, there's so much ode. There's so much more. If we would have brought Mashiach a year ago, how different the world would be. 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Right? Imagine if we could have avoided a Holocaust by working a little harder to be a little more connected to Beis HaMikdash. So I want to begin Tisha B'Av Tavshin Ayin Zayin with a different ode. Maybe a more realistic ode for Jews living in the end of days like ourselves. Because David HaMelech teaches us there's a different type of ode. There's a different type of ode which can actually help us to maybe dream of Geula. David HaMelech teaches us in Tehillim. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Lamed Zayin, "Ve'od ma'at ve'ein rasha, v'yisponanta al makomo ve'einenu." David HaMelech says there's ode, there's the big ode of Rav Meir Shapiro's cry, his wailing and screaming on the loss of his adopted son. But then David HaMelech says there's a different type of ode. There's an od ma'at. There's something called od ma'at. Od ma'at, the ein rasha. That sometimes an od ma'at, a little bit, if it's sincere and if it's real, that little bit could tip things over the top. Maybe a little bit more, building on the shoulders of giants of all the earlier generations, maybe a little bit of a feeling, not the entirety, but maybe one sincere moment of longing for Mashiach, for real. For real, a real moment of longing for Mashiach. Maybe that ode ma'at can replace all of that ode that was lost in Jewish history. And maybe an ode ma'at, a feeling chorban. We're very far. We don't know how to cry like our ancestors did. We don't know how to tap into the kinos. We don't know how to daven. We don't know how to feel the Beis HaMikdash way Jews once did. But David HaMelech says it's okay. Because there's a derech, there's a mahalach called ode ma'at. That if a Jew just does a little bit, and he does it well, and he does it, or she does it in a sincere way, then you don't get stuck. Then you don't become paralyzed by the weight of the obligation, the responsibility, and the possibility of what Tisha B'Av Tavshin Ayin Zayin offers us. A bissel is ochgut. Rav Nachman of Breslov used to say, a bissel is ochgut. A little bit is also good. Rabbi Nassim, the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, came to him, and he said about his experience before he came to Rabbi Nachman as follows. Amar kodem shiniskari vel rabbeinu zal. Rabbi Nassan said, before I came to Rabbi Nachman, my great teacher, Sha'af Shahaya Masmid Gadol, even though I was a great and diligent Torah scholar, Achiyan Shiratza Lilmud Harbe Ma'od, but when I saw all of Torah before me, when I saw the Ode, the potential of what a Jew could become, if he uses all of his energy, it was paralyzing. Says Rabbi Nassan, Achiyan Shiratza Lilmud Harbe Ma'od, I wanted to learn so much, Ula Hasmid Baharbe Shi'urim, and I wanted to accomplish so much that I didn't know where to start. And I was frozen in place. So I did nothing. I can't keep my mind on Mashiach for the next 24 hours. I can't be cognizant of the Nihuge Avelis for the next 24 hours every single second. So therefore, sometimes I don't do anything. I just duck my head and I push through. In Tol, says Rabbi Nassan, I came to my Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman. I was getting to the point where I wasn't accomplishing anything. But when I came to Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, when I told him my situation, how I've become so stuck by my own desires to be big. My Rebbe said to me, but a little bit is also good. Don't worry about everything. Don't feel the obligation to accomplish everything. Try to feel a little something. He told Rabbi Nassan, try to learn a little something. And for us, that's such a beautiful message for us to take into Tisha B'Av. To try to feel a little something. To feel a little tsar over the Chorban. To feel a little bit of a sincere longing that I'd be prepared to drop everything I have here in Chutz Laaretz, to return to Eretz Yisrael, to see a Beis HaMikdash. Amala Rabbeinu Zal Abisal is Oichkut. Anav Amr Al Zeh. Rabbi Nassan responded to this. Shame'ach Shav Yuchol Yos Ish Kosher. From that point forward, I felt I could really be a Jew. I finally felt he'd lifted that weight of Ode off of my shoulders. And he taught me a little bit is also good. V'chein Haya Kishabal Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, he said, from that day forward, when I came to Shul, and I was surrounded by people who were distracted and who weren't serious and weren't interested, V'rasha Yesham Eza Bilbul, and it wasn't a place where I could sit and I could concentrate and I could learn the way that I wanted to learn in my ideal state, I decided, you know what? Lo Yizniach Es Limud, I'm not going to stop doing the little bit that I can do. Because one tier on Tisha B'Av, in Tav Shanai and Zion, is also a chashuv thing. It's not to be underestimated, the power of a little bit. Like I said before, we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We're standing on the shoulders of all the people from the last 1,949 years who cried bitter tears over the Beis HaMikdash. And it could be that if we're not cynical and we're open and we work a little bit for that Od Ma'at that David HaMelech is describing, or that Bissel that Rabbi Nachman is describing to his prized Talmud, then maybe we could tip the scales. Maybe we could push things just a little bit over the edge, because maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for that finishing touch. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu just needs us to finish up the work that so many people, who we have such great respect for, work so hard to accomplish. I wanted to read together a couple of lines from Hashem Yishmuel in Parshas Netzavim. The Hashem Yishmuel, the Rebbe of Sokachov, is discussing tshuva. And that same paralyzing feeling that a Jew gets when he approaches the days of tshuva. These are days of tshuva. Tammuz, Av, Elul. It's one unit of tshuva, preparing ourselves for the Yom Narah. Says the Shem Yishmuel, sometimes a person tries to do and it's not enough. And he has tshuva thoughts and they don't come out lamaisa. He doesn't actualize those thoughts. Mikol makom kishen iskabu, mikol eile tshuva achas shlema. But all the times you tried to do tshuva and it didn't feel like anything was happening from it. But if one time you could have that moment of tshuva shlema, then all of those failed feelings, all of those hopes and dreams, all of the times you said you were going to change and you didn't really change, all of a sudden, in that one sincere moment of tshuva, all of those broken opportunities are made shalim, are made wholesome in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden, ki tshuva achas mechaperes al kol averos, that one sincere moment of tshuva fixes everything. He says, this is true, umidazu noheges tamid b'chol yom, uvachol shabbos, uvachol chodesh, uvachol shana. This is true for every day of our life, for every month, for every week, for every month, for every year. If we could just add up the little pieces throughout the calendar year, a moment here and a moment there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking to gather them together to make a tshuva shleima mitzterefes, to gather those pieces, to make one big entity of tshuva. Even though until that point you were mibachut, you were on the outside. You weren't invited to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvechein al yipo leiv adam alav, ba'arichu es ma'amake libo, she'enu yachol lasos tshuva karoy. And therefore, don't be burdened by the fact that the thought of tshuva shleima is so far beyond me. To really bring Mashiach, I don't feel worthy. To think about avelus, to connect to a Beis HaMikdash that I never saw and I don't really know much about, that's not for me. Says the Shem Yishmuel, don't make that mistake. Mikol makom al yimna milaso zeh hama'at. Do the little bit that you can. And he paraphrases the Gemara in Maseches Sota, ki pruta pruta mishalemes l'cheshbon. You put a penny or a quarter aside, and again, day after day, and eventually it adds up to a significant sum of money. Alachas kama v'kama all the more so when a Jew does a mitzvah, even if it's small. But he takes himself seriously, or she takes herself seriously. It adds up, and it could build something great. V'cheinami yeshloma b'chlalis. And then says the Shem Yishmuel a remarkable thing. And what if you can't even add up the pieces of your life to get that one true moment? Says the Shem Yishmuel, maybe the Jewish people in their entirety can work together to get that moment. Maybe we're 99% of the way there, he says. And therefore he turns to us, the Rebbe of Sakachov turns to us, about writing about 100 years ago. He turns to us and he says, Sha'atshuva mikol Yisrael mikol yimei ha-galus. We take all of the efforts of all the Jews, all of history. Again, he's talking in the context of tshuva, but it's 100% appropriate to what we're talking about tonight. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds up all those little pieces. Afshadko haisa begeder adicho, even though until now you've been an outsider. The Beis HaMikdash is a foreign reality. Mashiach is a foreign reality. We live in a scary world with missiles pointed at free countries, at countries of peace that want to allow their citizens to live decent, normal lives. Hashem Yisbarach Heshiv Asanidcha. But if we could just add that final piece, so to speak, that last brick in the Beis HaMikdash, then all of a sudden everything can be brought back. And therefore, yes, you have to look at yourself in these later generations, these lowly generations, and believe in the possibility of you also doing tshuva. And our hearts, which are sealed today, can be opened up once again. Because the final generation only has a tiny, tiny, tiny bit to add. If we could just have a small breakthrough this Tisha B'Av, if we could have a moment, an od ma'at, a moment of real, real longing, a private moment, sitting by yourself, just you and the Rabbonu Shlomo, longing for Mashiach, talking to Hashem, if you don't know what that is, if we don't feel that we want Mashiach, to talk to Hashem, say, Hashem, I don't even know why I want Mashiach. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be mourning. But that little bit can go so far. The Or Chaim HaKadosh writes in Parshas Re'eh, quoting the Zohar, that if even one kehilah, or one kanishta, you don't have to worry about everyone in Klal Yisrael getting on board. If one shul, if one group of Jews would decide to make the effort, miyad osi ben dam, then immediately Mashiach could come. So therefore it's our job to sit here in the Bein HaMitzar, to try to just open, again, the way the Medrash describes in Shir HaShirim, the tshuva process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just make me an opening, the eye of a needle, and I'll open it up all the way, and you'll see things that you never imagined. David HaMelech says, "Bitzar hirchavtali." Bitzar, in that moment of tzar, when we feel trapped, hirchavtali, just open it up. David says, Hashem, please open it up. But Hashem says, you start. You make that first move. You make that opening the eye of a needle, and I'll take it the rest of the way. I want to leave you with one final image before we come to Megillas Eicha. Rav Mordechai Gifter spent a couple of years in the late 1970s in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Gifter was an Ish Yerushalayim. He was a person whose soul was very, very deeply connected to Eretz Yisrael. And he longed to set up a branch of Tel's Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he did. The Yeshiva, Tel's branch in Telstone, right outside of Yerushalayim. Rav Gifter was only able to remain there for a couple of years because after Rav Baruch Saratzkin passed away in 1979, Rav Gifter was called back to American shores in order to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Tel's in Cleveland. But Rav Gifter, at that point, after getting a taste of Eretz Yisrael, he said, I can never come back to America the same way. He took a very small apartment for himself. He didn't take up the regular, more luxurious lodgings that were offered to the Rosh Yeshiva and the Yeshiva. He felt, I have to remind myself that I don't belong here. And every day I have to wake up reminding myself and hoping that Amir Tzashem will be able to return soon. But I want to just read you one maisa from that short period of time, those couple of years that Rav Gifter found himself in Eretz Yisrael. I'm reading to you from the biography of Rav Gifter. In one particularly moving incident, Rav Gifter was walking with his student Rav Moshe Scheinerman through the forest of Abu Ghosh, which is right outside Yerushalayim, right near Telstar. It was the end of winter and the entire forest was barren and lifeless. Suddenly Rav Gifter stopped and pointed, "Moshe, cook! Moshe, look!" Moshe looked down and saw a tiny flower that had fought its way to the surface and nestled against the rock. When Moshe looked back at his Rebbe, he was astonished to see that Rav Gifter was crying. Yes, crying. He could not imagine why a small flower was causing such an outburst of emotion. "You see, Moshe, in a few weeks this entire forest will be completely covered in green. The trees will be full of leaves. The flowers will have reached full bloom. Yes, there will be life everywhere. And no one will ever remember that the forest was so recently barren and empty." Says Rav Gifter, "The same is true with the redemption. One day soon, there will be redemption surrounding us all over. And no one will ever remember. We won't remember what it was like to sit on the floor and to recite Megillas Eicha. No one will ever remember that there was an exile. It will all be a distant dream." But at this point, Rav Gifter became extremely emotional and began to sob even harder. "But Moshe, where is the flower of redemption? Where is the flower? Where is that flower that's going to have the courage to break through that frozen ground at the end of a long winter? Who's going to rise up and start that movement, that little bit, that od ma'at, that'll push so much forward, which will allow the whole forest to come to life again?" The Gifter cried, "Where's that flower of redemption? Where's that flower of redemption?" So Mir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to feel a little something, to remember the od ma'at. Yes, to remember the bitter cries of Rav Meir Shapiro and his Rebbetzin over their beautiful son Ephraim. The impossible tragedies, that's one of a million odes that a Jew wants to scream about on Tisha B'Av. But to remind ourselves that David HaMelech says, od ma'at, bitzar hechavtali, abyssal is oichkut. A little bit also counts for something. And that Amir Tzashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to see the fulfillment of the words we'll read tonight, hopefully for the last time ever, at least in the sad trap in which we read it. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, chadei shemeinu k'kevin.